Welcome to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services, a show about coping with getting older ourselves and dealing with our aging parents. If you have questions about how to cope with these stresses, call Scott at 877-960-9960. Now, here's Scott.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom. I'm Chris Ledoux, in for the vacationing Scott Greenberg. So as the kind gentleman at the beginning of the show stated, if you'd like to call in with your questions, that number, 1-877-960-9960. And here I'm here today with my special guest, Lucy Mead. Lucy is a nurse practitioner at Gardens Neurology. All right. So again, please feel free to call in any questions during the next hour. And Lucy, thank you so much for agreeing to come in on the air today.
Thank you, Chris. My pleasure to be here.
Certainly appreciate you having you. And, you know, we had Dr. David Silvers on air from Gardens Neurology. And I met Dr. Silvers years ago. And what I was so impressed with was just his mannerisms and how he is with his patients and the amount of time he spends. And then recently you came on board at Gardens Neurology. And as a nurse practitioner, I wanted to start out with what are the steps or the sort of the roadmap one takes to become a nurse practitioner?
Well, there are many different paths on the road to becoming a nurse practitioner. My own story, I'm someone who I have to admit I never thought growing up that I was going to aspire to be a nurse. I thought I would be a teacher. I love to teach. I love to share. And it really wasn't until I was in my 30s. I had had both my children, and all of my friends kept saying, "You'd make a really good nurse." And finally, it was actually at a Bible study. My pastor from my church had us do some personality profiles, and mine came out 100%. I should be a nurse. So I decided, my children were getting ready to both be in school, that I should explore this field of nursing, and started to pursue my nursing career, and actually did that at Palm Beach State College, used to be Palm Beach Community College, and completed an associate degree in nursing to gain my RN. And at that time, I really thought that I would only be working maybe one or two shifts a week. I thought I would work in pediatrics. I always had all the kids in the neighborhood at my house. I love children. I thought this would be great. I very quickly found out that dealing with children and illness was a little too hard for me, and really my heart was working in geriatrics.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I see the first stop was the Associated Science from Palm Beach State College. And like you said, that could certainly have been a stopping point with RN and all the possibilities that opened up. But that wasn't enough. You kept going. And your next step was?
Right. So I kept going. My career path actually took me into hospice care. And I ended up spending about 15 years of my career in hospice and palliative care nursing. So at some point, my love of education kind of came into play, and there was a position open as a clinical nurse educator. And I was a little nervous about it, but jumped in, got the position, started training the nursing staff, and decided that, hey, maybe it's time to take my next step. And so I went back. I went to Florida Atlantic University, wonderful school with a caring philosophy. The program is really built on caring, and completed my bachelor's degree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But there was still a hunger within me.
Okay.
With the teaching, I decided that I really needed to get my master's and then pursued a master's in nursing education.
Mm-hmm. And what's the time frame between bachelor's and master's in nursing?
Well, because their program is, you know, it's a wonderful program. They actually let you apply some of the credits that you earn towards your bachelor's degree for the master's program.
Mm-hmm.
It took me about an additional 2 years.
Okay. All right.
And that was going part-time. I was always working through all of this, of course, working, raising my family, and going to school.
Going to school. Wow, the trifecta.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I mean, every bit of it, it's been so worth it because nursing is such a wonderful profession, and nursing has given me more than I could ever give nursing.
Right.
It's very rewarding.
Absolutely. So now with your master's degree in hand, all right, how did it, stopping was not an option at that point?
You know, I thought it was going to be. I had a friend that I went through the program with, and, you know, we kind of bantered it about the whole nurse practitioner thing, but we were both very much into education, thought it would be enough. I was actually still working at hospice at that time, and my role had expanded, and I had moved from clinical nurse educator. I was actually the medical education specialist. So now we were building our program, and we were hiring all these physicians, and I started training the physicians. And that was very interesting, very rewarding. Met some wonderful providers in the area. But I found more and more it was not just, you know, textbook learning and helping prepare them for working in end-of-life care, but I really needed to spend time with them on the hospice unit in the hospitals. And so my medical director and I talked about it and decided that it would be really advantageous if I went back and pursued my nurse practitioner degree. And so that was probably the driving force that really, you know, propelled me to move forward with my NP.
Mm-hmm. And nurse practitioner is sort of the newish in healthcare. I mean, it's something that hasn't been around for a lot of years. This was at Florida Atlantic University where you went back for the nurse practitioner program?
Exactly. Actually, the nurse practitioner programs were really started by Loretta Ford back in the 60s in Colorado. And I was very fortunate this past week. We had the Palm Beach County NP Council annual meeting, and Loretta Ford came to that meeting. She is now 96 years old.
Wow.
And she got up on stage and talked to us, and she is just so inspiring. But she is really the founding nurse of the nurse practitioner programs, and it has just grown so much.
It went from a very limited number of schools to now there's more access.
Exactly.
It's the prerequisite would be the master's in nursing and then make application to a nurse practitioner school.
Well, you actually would, there's two paths. So you can still practice as a nurse practitioner with a master's degree. Many are now pursuing their doctoral degree. So in order to be accepted into a program, depending on the program, you have to be a registered nurse and you have to have a bachelor's degree.
Right.
But with the master's degree, you can complete. I just happened to do a postgraduate NP certificate program.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And again, from a calling that came, you know, later in life. It wasn't the pathway of high school and then college and then continuing. This was, you know, you had a career before you embarked on this journey.
Exactly. In my very younger years, I worked in banking. So, which is still kind of helpful because, you know, you still have to play the numbers game and you still have to understand that. So,
okay. Well, more and more now, obviously there's more and more nurse practitioners in healthcare, and you functioned prior to coming to Gardens Neurology. You were previously with the St. Mary's Medical Center Memory Disorder.
Yes. Yeah. I joined the Memory Disorder Center at St. Mary's in March of 2015, and that was a great experience for me. I worked with Jacqueline Miller, and she is a LCSW, a licensed clinical social worker, and she has been working in the community diligently in dementia care for the last 15 years. So through Jackie, I was able to meet so many providers in the area, so connect with so many of the local agencies that help support patients and their families through this disease. And the many spectrums of dementia.
And what was the mission there? What was it mostly, you know, what families would come to you or individuals would come to you for testing and or what, the beginning of the road? How was it?
Right. You know, it varied greatly. Wonderful program. There's 15 memory disorder centers in the state of Florida. The program at St. Mary's being only one of the 15. Locally, there's also a program down at Florida Atlantic University. So we were partially funded by the state, and the state of Florida recognized some years ago the importance of being able to provide this service to the community. So, you know, very much like a neurology practice, patients would come in, they'd be complaining of some forgetfulness, you know, they couldn't find their car. Just kind of, you know, some of it is trying to figure out, is this some normal aging or is there really some impairment? So Jackie and I, typically we were the two clinical providers in the office on a day-to-day basis, and Jackie would meet with the families and take them through planning for the future, trying to connect them to resources, and I would meet with the patient, provide the testing, provide a physical exam, take their detailed history, and then I would send them out for their diagnostic testing, whether it be MRI imaging, CAT scan, EEGs, neuropsychological testing. We would gather all of the information so that when our neurologist came in, he could move forward with providing a diagnosis. And sometimes these folks really were just worried well, and we could actually send them out the door the same day saying, look, you know, this is a normal part of aging, and a normal part of aging is that it sometimes takes us a little longer to remember things. Our retrieval time slows down a little bit, so...
I think that's all on the top of our mind. We're just bombarded with, dementia and Alzheimer's and the explosion in the population as we age, the explosion in diagnoses. So,
right. And, you know, there are many things that can lead to memory loss that are correctable. So oftentimes we would have people coming in that were, you know, possibly experiencing grief. They had maybe lost a loved one or just had some longstanding depression. And, you know, now there had been a change and the depression wasn't being adequately treated. You know, thyroid function. If your thyroid's not functioning well, If your TSH is going up, the thyroid function's going down, you can start to become very forgetful along with many other unpleasantries.
Right.
Low B12 level, folate level will also lead to memory loss. So, you know, checking all those laboratories is also a critical piece of trying to come to a diagnosis or answer for folks.
And when you turned a corner in your career, you had talked about, or earlier in your career, it was more hospice-oriented and case management, and now you're with the memory center. All right, did that excite you going off in that different direction, more so from education and in terms of, I look at your background and I see where you just, it was never enough. You kept going with your education, so now you've gone in this direction?
Right. It was a natural progression for me. You know, in hospice care, you're dealing obviously with people of all ages, but primarily the focus again was always geriatrics. So, you know, typically with memory loss, you're seeing more of a geriatric population. That's not to say we didn't have 40 and 50 year olds. And even now in practice with Dr. Silvers, we see younger people coming in with you know, young onset of Alzheimer's disease. So, you know, that really was just a natural progression for me.
Right. Awesome. Great. Well, we're going to take a short break here. And when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Lucy Mead, nurse practitioner with Gardens Neurology. And we're going to talk about how a nurse practitioner functions in healthcare today, scope of practice. We're going to talk a little bit about case management and plan of care. And then lastly, we're going to talk about prevention. All right. So we'll be back shortly. Please stand by. Thank you for listening to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, and So Is My Mom. I'm guest host Chris Ledoux, standing in for the vacationing Scott Greenberg.
Joining us is Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. And Scott, you guys go above and beyond when it comes to cultural competency training, don't you?
You know, Mike, we really do. For example, 65% of the senior population in Palm Beach County is of the Jewish faith. We've spent an awful lot of time at Comfort Care going through regular Holocaust survivor caregiving. We also have hired a rabbi periodically to train our caregivers on maintaining a traditional kosher home. Everyone that we deal with is different, and they bring a different set of history or a different set of circumstances to the equation. So what we try to do is to make sure that we have caregivers who are trained in whatever it is that is confronting the senior that we're dealing with. We're even beginning to work with some of the Haitian churches to work with our caregivers to make sure that our caregivers understand what our clients need, because by working together, it makes for a better outcome. After all, at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines your quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us, 561-630-1620.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As mom and dad get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared? Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. Elder Care 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and education to resolve everyday issues that can impact healthcare challenges and more. As a patient advocate, Elder Care 360 brings together decades of experience as patient-focused professionals to assist you and your families with their routine activities of living and healthcare challenges. Being proactive is the best way to ensure the best possible outcome for you and your family during these times. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800. Make Elder Care 360 part of your team. Elder Care 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
I'm here with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. And Scott, caregiver stress is really a silent killer, isn't it?
It really is, Mike. The statistics are astounding. Nearly 64% of family caregivers taking care of somebody with Alzheimer's and dementia without having outside help will predecease their loved one who has Alzheimer's and dementia. The stress of taking care of a loved one with a chronic disease can take a terrible toll, and the need for a respite is never more apparent than when you're feeling the most stressed.
So, Scott, your services can be provided for just a couple of hours a day so we can live our normal life.
Yes, Mike. Even a couple of hours away from the family member who is struggling with a chronic disease can give you the break that you need to take care of yourself. Get your hair done, go out and play cards, maybe a round of golf, go see a movie. All of these are things that will help you take care of your loved one better if you're in a better frame of mind. After all, at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines your quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us, 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom. I'm guest host Chris Ledoux, standing in for the vacationing Scott Greenberg. And again, if you have questions for Lucy Mead, nurse practitioner with Gardens Neurology, she's here now, and the number 1-877-960-9960. And again, Lucy, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you, Chris.
All right. What I alluded to earlier is how do nurse practitioners function in healthcare? All right, there's a lot of confusion with older patients when there's designations like CNA and PA and DO and nurse practitioner.
Right, and I'll add a few in there that we sometimes hear as nurse practitioners. We hear mid-level provider or physician extender. We really don't like those terms because we are nurses. We are nurse practitioners, and our role is fundamentally that of an advanced practice nurse. So nurse practitioners, they function in many different settings. They can practice in an office, in a clinic setting, hospitals, emergency rooms, academic settings, teaching, research. They work in nursing homes. They work in schools. And nurse practitioners provide many of the same, if not all of the same services that you would be able to access with a family care physician. In fact, about 85% of nurse practitioners in this country are prepared in family nurse practitioner or primary care. That really is the focus. And we have so many physicians that are specializing now that aren't practicing in family care that we really are meeting that physician shortage. So nurse practitioners, we work autonomously and in collaboration with physicians. We order tests. We interpret tests, including laboratory and diagnostic tests. We diagnose and treat acute and chronic conditions. We prescribe medication and other treatments. And we really manage the patient's overall care, including and probably most specifically counseling and education on their disease. And that is what may set us apart somewhat from physicians. In the United States, there are 21 states where nurse practitioners can practice totally independently of a physician, Florida not being one of them.
Okay, so in other words, they can hang out their shingles, so to speak, and have a freestanding office and see patients and function in healthcare and that capacity.
Right. And so in Florida, we have to have a collaborating agreement with a physician.
Okay.
And so let me just add here that if I'm going to have a collaborative agreement with a physician, I feel very, very fortunate to have that agreement with Dr. Silvers at Gardens Neurology. He
Absolutely.
Is an outstanding neurologist.
And please put the phone number out on the air for Dr. David Silvers.
Sure. So we're Gardens Neurology. We're located at 3401 PGA Boulevard, Suite 430. And the phone number is 561-799-2831.
Mm-hmm. Great. Great office. I just have such a great feeling when I go in there. And like I said, the amount of time that Dr. Silvers spends with his patients upon the first visit. And then, of course, you've come to the practice. It was August of this year. Correct?
Correct. Right. The end of August.
So, and I know the office is in the process of expanding.
Yes, we are going to be moving in a couple months to the suite next door. We'll still be in the same building, but we'll move to the suite next door and we'll have some more space. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I feel very fortunate. I feel like we're a very comprehensive team and everyone in the office is so knowledgeable. I really, really feel lucky to be working there and working and learning from Dr. Silvers.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Well, what I think that I heard you say in terms of what a nurse practitioner brings to the table is about 50 or 100 pounds ago, I studied to be an EMT. After EMT school, like you, I kept going paramedic school. And I know the best paramedics would always say to you, if you want to learn the rest of the story, go to nursing school. All right. And I know when it comes to the older generation, when I think of my father, World War II generation, they would always say, you know, what does the nurse think? And that was their mindset. They really respected and looked up to nurses and nursing. So nurse practitioner taking nursing to that highest level and then coming alongside an office like Dr. Silvers, does that increase a family's availability or rather, does it make it easier for families to come up with a care plan or a direction to go off into when you're dealing with cognitive disorders?
Right. And I think that was really Dr. Silver's vision in, incorporating nurse practitioner care in his practice. So, there are several functions that I have there, but one of them is really meeting with the families once they have their diagnosis established, once they've had their testing complete, and sitting down to complete a care plan. And it's really quite unique, this care plan. I typically am meeting with families for, 45 minutes to an hour, and then additional visits if needed. But right away, I'm really trying to establish who the person is, who the individual is, because so often after someone's diagnosed with dementia, Alzheimer's disease, vascular dementia, they start to be labeled with the title of the disease and not the mm-hmm. person that they are. So I'm always seeking to find out, what type of work did you do? Who are you? What do you enjoy? What did you enjoy doing before you got sick? And, another piece of that is finding out if they like music. Music is a wonderful modality that families can bring into their loved one's care. And this is, critically important if this individual ends up, you know, which many do, being placed in an assisted living facility or a skilled nursing facility, so that the staff then can say, particularly if there's no family available, hey, this, you know, this man was a banker. You know, he likes money. Let's give him some play money, not to diminish anything, but right. just to really reach who he is and identify with him. And you know what? He loved country music. Mm-hmm. Let's put together a playlist so that he has that and can listen to his country music every day. So, you know, in addition to talking about advanced directives and talking about decision-making capacity and facilities and that type of thing, a lot of time is really spent identifying who this person is and also finding out what the care partner's needs are. And so the care partner may be a spouse, they may be a child, you know, significant other, but they have many needs. When someone has memory loss, you know, it's a 24/7, and you never know, you know, which shoe's going to drop next. So people really have to stay alert and diligent to the needs and changes of someone that's experiencing a cognitive decline. So reaching out to them, finding out what their needs are, trying to connect them to support groups in the community. And we are really blessed in this area to have so many resources to be able to refer to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great. Well, I want to again remind the audience that I'm here with Lucy Mead, nurse practitioner from Gardens Neurology, and we can be reached at 877-960-9960. Again, I'm Chris Ledoux. I'm standing in for vacationing Scott Greenberg on Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, and So Is My Mom. We'll be back in a couple short ticks, and we're going to talk about prevention when it comes to memory loss. Stay tuned.
I'm here with Allison Negri of Comfort Care Senior Services. And Allison, Comfort Care is a family-owned and operated business.
We are, Mike. It's myself, my husband Tino, and my parents Irene and Scott. We're all thoroughly involved in the day-to-day operations of the business. So many of our clients' families do not live locally and therefore count on us to be their local eyes and ears. Every one of our clients has access to an owner day or night, and we do monitor our office phones 24 hours, 7 days a week by a member of our office staff.
So Allison, family's very important to you guys at Comfort Care Senior Services.
It really is, Mike. I was very involved with my grandmother before she passed away, so we understand how important it is for everyone in the family, not just the senior needing care, to be a part of the equation. We talk to family members on a regular basis. After all, at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines your quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620. 561-630-1620.
We're here with Allison Negri of Comfort Care Senior Services. And Allison, Comfort Care is a home health agency and not a nurse registry.
That's right, Mike. And if you think the only difference between a home health agency and a nurse registry is price, then you need to speak with us. In addition to our caregivers being licensed, bonded, and insured, as an agency, we are also allowed to train our caregivers, which we do both in-home and field training.
And Allison, that means that your caregivers are actually your employees.
That's right, Mike. All of our caregivers are our employees. They are not 1099 independent contractors, which means that we're responsible for the workers' comp and all of their employment taxes. At Comfort Care, we would never send a caregiver into your home that we wouldn't send into our home. After all, at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines your quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620. 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, and So Is My Mom, with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Good afternoon. Welcome back again to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, and So Is My Mom. I'm Chris Ledoux. I'm in for the vacationing Scott Greenberg. I'm here with Lucy Mead of Gardens Neurology, nurse practitioner. And so far we talked about what is a nurse practitioner. We talked about the road or the pathway to becoming a nurse practitioner. We talked a little bit about scope of practice, how a nurse practitioner works in today's medicine. And now, since we talked about and we hit on memory loss and cognitive disorders, which is obviously neurology being the front line for this, I wanted to talk a little bit about prevention. When, you know, Do you have people in their 20s coming to you and saying, how can I keep this from happening? It happened to mom, it happened to dad. Are you seeing that?
Well, certainly I have heard family members ask that question as I've seen patients over the years. But it's funny that you should bring this up because we've actually started a new type of visit at Gardens Neurology, and it's called a brain health visit. Now, the patients that we're seeing, they have already been diagnosed, likely with a mild cognitive impairment. So, with mild cognitive impairment, typically people may have become somewhat forgetful, occasionally missing an appointment or something of that nature, and they've tested, their scores are showing that they have mild cognitive impairment, but they're still very functional. I mean, many people with mild cognitive impairment are still working. They're still driving. Mm-hmm. So they're still completing their independent activities of daily living. And as long as they can continue to complete those independent activities of daily living, they have mild cognitive impairment. So the new brain health visit is trying to answer the question that we often hear, what can I do to keep this from getting worse? And so we talk a great deal about diet and dietary changes. And we know that when people are diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease, oftentimes there's a dual diagnosis of vascular dementia. We can even break that down in mild cognitive impairment. Is this really mostly memory, or is this more of executive function and more vascular changes the person is experiencing? And we know that diseases such as diabetes is probably the number one, and high blood pressure, high cholesterol can lead to microvascular changes. So, basically it's starting this prevention ideally when the person is much younger. And yeah, in your 20s and 30s, it's never too early to make changes. Staying away from fast food, staying away from processed foods, the heat up TV dinner type of meal. We really want to explore a plant-based diet as much as possible. Lots of fruits and vegetables. There's been a lot of research around blueberries and strawberries and, advantageous of eating that type of diet. Also nuts, eating a handful of nuts every day, particularly walnuts.
Oh, good. I'm there with that.
Yeah.
a lot of it when I think of stroke and cardiac, it's almost in line with where we are for brain health with the guidelines, right? Aren't they very similar?
Absolutely. So if you are taking care of your illnesses such as diabetes, managing your blood pressure, You are taking care of your cardiac health. And if you take care of your cardiac health, you're going to take care of your brain health, because your vasculature, It's all about perfusion. So we want perfusion to the brain.
So
critically important, diet, exercise. Mm-hmm. We should all have a goal of 30 minutes of exercise every day.
Certainly. We did have a call come in, and the caller wanted to know, what's the difference between a nurse practitioner and a PA?
Okay. I was almost expecting that question.
Yeah.
So we are prepared, differently. PAs, nurse practitioners, they're both completing bachelor's level training before completing their advanced training. Mm-hmm. I can't speak to exactly the requirements of a PA, but they are similar. I think they go through a little bit of a residency, which some nurse practitioner programs might, but that's not really the focus. And so I would say one thing I know for certain is that in those 21 states that nurse practitioners practice independently, physician assistants have not been able to achieve that goal. That throughout the United States, PAs do practice under the supervision of a physician, but very similar in our day-to-day practice. Mm-hmm. Again, we have to remember, though, nursing is different, and our whole structure of caring and the training that we receive is different than that of a PA.
The nursing background or
exactly.
being brought up
exactly.
from the nursing side of the equation versus being brought up through the medical school and what, you know, the pathway that they take. It's very different at the onset, I would imagine.
Right. And again, you know, not having gone through a PA program.
Okay. All right. We talked about prevention. We talked about go back to the brain health visits for a minute, please, because that's the first time I've ever heard that utilized or that terminology where, they're diagnosed. And is it only – I wouldn't imagine it's only early stage because we hear of the more severe cases when you hear the terminology frontal lobe. Right.
Right.
For example.
Right. Yeah.
Do you do the brain health visits for somebody with a frontal lobe diagnosis?
Well, again, you know, at that point, when you have that diagnosis, it's all about trying to keep things from getting worse. You know, when we're talking about prevention, we're really trying to reach people at a very young age, right? So. Mm-hmm. It's never too young to make these lifestyle changes. But once you have a diagnosis of dementia, and again, across the spectrum, we're just trying to keep things at bay as much as possible. So, you know, diet, exercise, keeping people socially engaged. We know that being around other people is really important. So that's why, you know, participation in day programs, getting one out of the house. One of the worst things that people can do is just sit in front of a television hour after hour, you know, and there's really no stimulation. There's really no cognitive challenge. So I talk to people about, you know, making sure that they're spending 30 minutes a day cognitively challenging themselves. There's multiple programs that they can access online. They can go to the dollar store and buy word search books. They can complete crossword puzzle in the daily paper. Putting a jigsaw puzzle out on the table and working on that every night for 30 minutes with your loved one is beneficial. Back to Jackie Miller, who I worked with at the Memory Disorder Center, she used to tell everyone, take off your watch and put it on the other wrist. Challenge your brain. So little things, anything we can do to learn new information, challenge our brain every day. We want to spend about 30 minutes. You know, ideally, we want 30 minutes of some type of cardiovascular exercise. But we also know that resistance training, you know, trying to keep people from losing muscle mass is very important. So, you know, depending on what's happening with patients, we are referring to, you know, physical therapy as well. And that's, you know, even in the more advanced stages to keep people as mobile as possible.
Mm-hmm. Now, how big a part does family history play when it comes? You talked about when you're with the patient and you gather family history and you're fact-finding, and that's part of what mm-hmm. your job description and what you do. Do you see the red flag there? Do you see so many more increased instances of memory loss when mom had it or dad had it?
Well, I mean, sure, there can be a genetic piece of this, the APOE. Gene, mm-hmm. depending on, you know, whether or not they've inherited a copy from one or both parents, it will dramatically impact that likelihood. But, you know, oftentimes it's not necessarily the case, right? So we know that disposition may be there, maybe a greater risk, but we want people to do everything they can do to counter that genetic predisposition.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Well, I want to remind everyone I'm on air today, standing in for Scott Greenberg. My name is Chris Ledoux. We're here. Oh my God, I'm getting older, and so is my mom. The number to call with any questions for Lucy Mead, nurse practitioner at Gardens Neurology, is 877-960-9960. We'll be back in a few short ticks again with more questions for Lucy.
I'm here with Tino Negri of Comfort Care Senior Services. And Tino, you guys are really going above and beyond when it comes to training your staff for Alzheimer's care.
So, Mike, a lot of people complain about their caregivers being on the phone all day. At Comfort Care, we are training our caregivers to keep your loved ones active, engaged, and stimulated.
And Tino, what are some of the things you're doing to make your caregivers better equipped to take care of people with Alzheimer's?
So twice a month, I'm bringing our caregivers in to our office for specialized training on behavior modification and cognitive stimulation activities designed to keep your loved ones active when the caregivers are there staying with them. We find caregivers respond favorably when they have the tools at their disposal to take care of your loved one. After all, at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines the quality of your life. So let our family take care of your family. 561-630-1620.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As mom and dad get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared? Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. Elder Care 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and education to resolve everyday issues that can impact healthcare challenges and more. As a patient advocate, Elder Care 360 brings together decades of experience as patient-focused professionals to assist you and your families with their routine activities of living and healthcare challenges. Being proactive is the best way to ensure the best possible outcome for you and your family during these times. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800. Make Elder Care 360 part of your team. Elder Care 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
I'm here with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. And Scott, you're very involved in the senior community, aren't you?
I am, Mike. We try very hard to stay very much ahead of the curve in terms of the things that confront our senior population. As we age, there are so many things that people are unfamiliar with. So I am currently just been installed the president of the Florida State Guardianship Association. I also sit on the advisory council of the Area Agency on Aging, and I'm the treasurer of the Partnership for Aging. All of this is designed to give me access to the leading minds that are dealing with things that confront our seniors every day. It's very important that we stay on top of the issues that our community deals with on a daily basis, because as we age, the need to stay informed becomes ever more important if we're going to deliver the kind of care and service that Comfort Care promises to deliver. After all, at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines your quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us, 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back again. Chris Ledoux in for Scott Greenberg today with Lucy Mead of Gardens Neurology. Lucy, go ahead and put the phone number out, please, for Gardens Neurology.
Sure. Gardens Neurology, located at 3401 PGA Boulevard, Suite 430. You can reach us at 561-799-2831.
Thank you so much. And again, thank you for coming on air with us today.
Thank you, Chris.
And bringing to us what how the nurse practitioner functions in healthcare, and more importantly, the difference that the nursing component makes when you have your family member and you're treating a family member with memory loss. And one of the things I noticed on your bio is that you believe in integrative care, and you also are a Reiki master since 2009. And I saw that, and I really didn't know what that entails. Can you enlighten me a little bit about Reiki Master?
Yes. So Reiki is a type of energy work. If you're familiar with healing touch, many people are familiar with healing touch. It's a similar modality. I'm actually trained in both modalities. And it is really about helping the individual heal themselves. In my particular practice, I consider myself a conduit of healing, through a force much greater than ourselves. You know, for me, that is God. For other practitioners, they may have different beliefs. But I take that into practice. Now, in the state of Florida, it's not something I'm doing at Gardens Neurology. It's not something that I'm doing as a billable service. In the state of Florida, it's really a massage therapist that would incorporate healing touch and Reiki into their massage work and bill for that service. But once you are trained and utilize those modalities and have the belief, that we heal each other, and that touch is so critically important and certainly a very important part of nursing always, to take someone's hand. But it's hard for someone to come in the practice and see me without me reaching out and cupping their hands in mine and connecting with people on that level. It's just a very important piece.
So, right. So in your case management and in your care management, your plan of care, you're addressing diet, exercise, healing touch, just...
And spirituality. So, you know, I talk to families and sometimes they don't want to go there, but because it is so important, you know, at least I can typically reach people on some level to talk to them about being mindful and practicing mindfulness, at least taking a few moments, you know. If it's not in prayer, it's at least taking a few moments to really be intentional and think about what they're doing moment to moment. And you know, for the care partner, what is their intention with their loved one? And to really kind of slow things down, because we are spiritual beings, and you can't take that out of our connectedness and out of, to me, out of healthcare. It's very important. You know, I try to look at everyone as a whole being, right. And it's more about their prescription drug. You know, it's more than that. It's mm-hmm. It's about the whole person. It's about everything we do, and spirituality is a big part of that.
And I think that circles back to the nursing component, that we keep going around and coming mm-hmm. back to where we started, or as they say, begin with the end in mind. But in the beginning, the nursing component, and you mentioned time, and you mentioned with the family, and you mentioned spirituality and open-ended questions, and seeing if, you know, if that's a direction you could go in, and also care partners, right? I mean, you address that as part of your care management or case management. In terms of who is in their life and how they're going to get this assistance going down the road.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think the other thing I try to do is to not be shy. I try to cross cultural barriers, you know, and that even if it's sexual orientation, you know, if I have any suspicion that, you know, there is a couple that may be not very open about their sexual orientation and they're coming together, I open that door right away and try and make them feel very comfortable and accepting, so that they can tell the whole story, because it's really important to have the whole story. And if you have holes, you have Swiss cheese, you know, right. and there's a lot of leakage. So we need to plug those holes, and we need to treat everybody, you know, with respect and make them comfortable enough that they're able to talk and tell their story and get the care that they deserve.
Right. And it all starts with the nurse. It takes a nurse. Absolutely. So.
And, you know, we are the most trusted profession. I actually looked at this, and since 1999, the Gallup poll has been asking the population at large who is their most trusted professional that they deal with. And every year since 1999, nursing has come out at the top.
Number one.
Awesome. Number one.
Great. Absolutely. And it shows, because, like I said, you're almost, you know, like I said, a calling when you had it started with a test saying nursing, right? Later in life, and then it started with the first step, and then you just kept going and going and going, sort of like that Energizer Bunny was your education experience in medicine.
Well, because there's always so much more, and there's so much versatility in nursing. There's so many different things you can do, and so mm-hmm. many different directions. So, you know, it's not a closed profession.
And, right. And the neurology, we're concentrating kind of on memory disorder, and you know, it is a month for Alzheimer's. There was just a big walk in West Palm Beach right. This weekend. Alzheimer's Association, they're having walks. Actually, you'll see it in the news nationwide. They're having their walk to end Alzheimer's. And that's on the top of everyone's mind. But at Gardens Neurology, there's a lot more walking in the door than neurological issues. What else are you dealing with on a day-to-day basis besides memory loss?
Primarily for me, my role in the practice really is around the cognitive issues. Mm-hmm. Dr. Silvers, you know, sees a general neurology patients, but my focus is really around the care planning and providing the testing and following up with patients, helping families, you know, if there's any urgent visits for behavioral problems that come up. that really is my focus there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then also, when you're dealing with patients and you're formulating a care plan, I know personally you believe in meditation and you believe in alternative medicine in terms of, we talked about healing touch. Does that enter into your care plan sometimes?
Well, I think only to the extent of, you know, recommending if supplementation is needed, that certainly is part of it. I'm not going to be prescribing herbals and that type of thing. We have to be really careful about drug interactions. And, you know, we have a patient that's already impaired and you know, certainly don't want to compromise a patient in any way. But as I said before, absolutely talking to them holistically about mindfulness, spirituality, prayerful time is definitely part of that plan of care.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And also deep breathing and other, any sort of Chinese enter into it?
A deep breathing for sure. And that's with every patient that I encounter because we all have stress and stress leads to anxiety and being able to control our breath work is so important. So I'm always teaching people about slow, deep breathing to kind of gain their center again. And you know, I likely do that more with care partners that aren't diagnosed with dementia than I do with the patients that have dementia themselves, because it's the care partners that are so stressed out and need to just slow down and control their breath. So
Great. And then also I wanted to revisit, we did talk about prevention and we did talk about warning signs and, you know, how it's on the top of people's mind. So what kind of advice could you give, people that are concerned and want to keep it at bay? What's the best thing to keep your cognitive abilities?
Right. So, you know, I think the research, you know, probably they've said the exercise is probably most important. Make sure you get up and you move, you know, keep moving every day. Walking is a great modality to exercise, you know, get out for a 30-minute walk every day. Then your diet, look at your diet. Try and stay with a plant-based diet. Stay away from red meat. It actually increases homocysteine level, which is inflammation in the blood vessels. So really want to avoid the red meat. Eat fish, but eat fish in moderation because we don't want too much mercury.
Okay.
Nuts are great. Beans are great. So keep the diet really clean. Keep the diet healthy. Spend time around other people. Don't isolate yourself. If you're getting ready to retire, have a plan. Start volunteering. Make sure you stay busy and stay around other people. I can't tell you the number of people I've seen over the years that started to have cognitive decline after retirement. So really, really important. We talked about the cognitive practice, brain games. You know, keeping that cognitive activity at least 30 minutes a day. Then the prayerful time, the meditation. Make sure that's part of your day. And, making sure your emotional health, if you have depression, get it treated. Depression causes changes in the brain.
Right.
So,
well, you mentioned retirement. I never thought of that. But, you know, if you think about it, a senior laying back from, you know, a busier lifestyle and becoming more sedentary, that could absolutely increase the onset.
Absolutely. That is the most common time that people come in is after retirement. If they don't have a plan in place, if they're not staying active, they start to have issues. You know, it's a red zone.
Yeah, exactly.
So you never retire.
Well, I was saying some of us might be in a position where retirement is just a dream anyway. So okay, can't even foresee down that road. But yeah, okay. Errol shaking his head behind the glass. Oh yeah, retirement. Not coming to my camp. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Again, Lucy, want to put that phone number out again for Gardens Neurology, please?
Sure. You can reach us at 561-799-2831.
Absolutely. Again, Chris Ledoux in for Scott Greenberg. Oh my God, I'm getting older and so is my mom. We were here today with Lucy Mead, nurse practitioner for Gardens Neurology.